Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
It is a Friday. It's March 15th, moving into, can you believe it, next week, the fifth week of Lent already. And also we have St. Patrick's Day on Sunday. That's coming up, and so there'll be a lot of different events and beautiful types of masses dedicated to this wonderful saint, the patron of Ireland. And we'll talk a little bit about that maybe on Monday when we have a little bit more information, and we also have some news stories on that as well this morning. Weather-wise, we are still looking at some severe weather from the southern plains to the southwest, a winter storm in the southern Rockies, and boy, our friends over in Colorado, that area, they just got walloped with the snow. We have scattered strong to severe thunderstorms also, and excessive rainfall possible from the Texas Hill Country eastward across the southeast states today and the Texas Hill Country into South Texas for tomorrow during the weekend. And then a winter storm producing waves of heavy snow in the higher elevations of the southwest and Four Corners region into the weekend. So that is a look at the weather, and we've got some weather stories again regarding the situation in parts of the country that were really hit both with the heavy rains and the thunderstorms and also the snow in the Colorado area, which I understand was breaking records. Content-wise on the show today, of course, it's a Friday. That means our very own Doug Keck, our president and chief operating officer, will be joining us at about 15 minutes past the hour for the inside word, the scoop that gives you a little bit of an inside connection as to what's coming up. And I'm sure we're going to be, hearing about a lot of great St. Patrick's Day programming. I'm sure many movies about this great saint, again, the patron of Ireland. You know, I've never been to Ireland. I'd love to go to Ireland. I hear so many great things about it. And my friend Kelly Walquist, who's very Irish, told me, she said, the pictures do not do it justice in terms of the green. She said, I've never seen green, and that's why they call it, obviously, the Emerald Isle. So really a beautiful place and so many beautiful shrines in Ireland as well, in addition to all the great work of St. Patrick, the country's patron. So also at the bottom of the hour, we do have Fact Check Friday. Have you heard, and by the way, it's our lead story in the news this morning, it's pretty big news over in Great Britain. If you remember, they have temporarily put a pause on transitional surgeries. Their one big so-called clinic, I think it's called Tavistock, actually shut down. And now they are banning puberty blockers. And so how are the media responding? Well, the media here in the U.S., we're going to talk about that at Fact Check Friday. But it's not about the facts. Oh, no. It's about let's line up our usual suspects of experts, right? Our usual group that support our agenda. Now, you should be putting out both sides of the story. Whether the reporter agrees with it doesn't matter. You're supposed to put the information out there. So if you have experts in Great Britain and other parts of Europe that have been involved in this kind of stuff for a long time, they're saying, whoa, Nelly, we have to put the brakes on this because there's not any evidence that it's making a difference or helping. It seems to be adding to the situation. And this is, of course, what many here in the United States have been saying, especially people like John Birch, who's an attorney and a Catholic speaker who has done a lot of research on this area. It's just the opposite of what they claim in terms of what it does in so-called solving people's problems, right? It doesn't do anything. It makes a bad situation worse. Very similar to the abortion industry, if you think about it. And so we're going to talk about how the media are covering this story, and it's very similar the way they cover stories on abortion. They ignore the studies that show post-abortion syndrome, so many medical problems associated with abortion, addictions, and all these other things, including there's another issue, a big issue with abortion that's often ignored, increased risk of breast cancer, even after having only one abortion. So there's all these studies that are out there, but because of the media buying into abortion so long ago and so strongly, they don't put that information in front of you so you can make a decision. Of course, we know that we're always pro-life, but at least from a reporter's perspective, from the media's perspective, they're supposed to be allowing at least two sides of the story, but there's always even more than two sides to a story, believe me. And speaking of stories, but this is a very good one, we will get an update on the Cabrini film. The producer, Lior Severino, finally had the chance to meet him in person when I attended a premiere of the movie back in Philly a few weeks ago. be nice to catch up with him and see how the film is doing. My understanding is it's doing fairly well. Last weekend, I think it was tied for fourth place at the box office or films that were opening up last weekend. And it's still out there in the theaters, which is great. And because of the strong showing, my understanding is that it's going to stay there. And we'll get the details in terms of how long and also how you can see the film. 5 minutes past the hour right now. Do hope that your day is going well on this Friday in the fourth week of Lent. And again, don't forget, we have Doug Keck, Fact Check Friday, and Leo Severino on a Friday morning. Right now, though, already 5 minutes past the hour. Let's check the news on a Friday, shall we? Well, as we mentioned, England is banning puberty blockers, saying they are neither safe nor effective for children who suffer from gender dysphoria. That bolsters efforts here in the U.S., where groups have filed suit to protect children from harm.
What the United Kingdom has concluded is there is no science to support these interventions for children.
That's Andrew Brown with the Texas Public Policy Foundation. He says this just adds to the overwhelming evidence that these drugs are not effective.
If you're hiking down a path through the woods and you see a bunch of people running in the opposite direction, if you keep going down that path, you're an idiot.
They're fighting against a suit that seeks to strike down Texas's newly passed ban on the controversial surgeries. There are similar legal battles in Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky, and Tennessee as well. Severe weather taking a toll on a number of states yesterday with reports of tornadoes in Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio. In Indiana, there were early reports of at least three deaths, but officials are now saying that might not be the case. Authorities say in an overnight press conference that they're still working to confirm if the weather led to any deaths, acknowledging at the same time some people could still be trapped inside buildings. And China is warning the U.S. that a ban on TikTok will backfire. The comments came from China's foreign minister during a news conference Wednesday after a controversial bill in the U.S. House of Representatives was passed that would force a Chinese company to sell the video app to an American company. A foreign ministry spokesperson called the bill an act of bullying and said, even though the U.S. has not found evidence on how TikTok endangers its national security, it has never stopped going after the outlet. Spokesperson said the bill would eventually backfire on the U.S. itself. And in what many saw as a stunning declaration of no confidence on the floor of the Senate yesterday, Majority Leader Chuck Schumer taking aim at the Netanyahu government in Israel. The top-ranking Democrat in the Senate saying Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has his own political fortunes ahead of the best interests of Israel. Schumer, who happens to be the highest-placed elected Jewish official in the U.S. government, called for new elections in Israel, saying the military response in Gaza to the October 7th Hamas attacks risked turning Israel into a pariah state. Meanwhile, as Christian Marx tells us, multiple pro-Palestinian protesters are under arrest after storming the New York Times Midtown headquarters.
The rally came just hours after an early morning demonstration at the paper's printing plant in Queens. There are reports that arrests were made after dozens prevented trucks from accessing the facility by blocking roads with debris around 1 a.m. Some held signs that read "Stop the Presses, Free Palestine." The Times said it didn't expect much of a disruption in distribution. Then around 10 a.m., around 100 protesters converged on the lobby of the Times' main office, resulting in several more arrests. Many held signs with similar messaging as others handed out phony copies of the paper.
Pressure is building on House Speaker Mike Johnson to put a sweeping national security package on the floor for a vote. Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell warning yesterday that withholding critical weapons for Ukraine has only emboldened Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin is not playing for a tie. He's not headed to the negotiating table. He will not stop at Ukraine. He's told us. And he's shown us many times.
He also said it's time for the House to take up the Senate-passed bill and finish the job. The bill includes $60 billion for Ukraine, as well as aid for Israel and Taiwan. Johnson has been reluctant to take up the bill and has reportedly suggested of providing aid in the form of loan or lend leasing programs. The father of one of the children killed in the Uvalde, Texas school shooting, as Trey Thomas tells us, has now started a protest outside the town's police headquarters.
Brett Cross is furious that a city-funded investigation of the massacre absolved the officers of any wrongdoing.
Their thin blue line backing each other and putting a job over morality and over children's lives.
The report done by a former Austin cop has divided the community. Some feel like it was a whitewash.
The Michigan father connected to the shooting, a deadly shooting carried out by his teen son in Michigan, has now been found guilty. James Crumbly found guilty on four counts of involuntary manslaughter in the deaths of four students at Oxford High School north of Detroit. That shooting occurred back in 2021. The shooter's mother, Jennifer Crumbly, has already been found guilty on the same charges. Prosecutors say the pair turned a blind eye to their son's mental problems and left the gun used in the crime unsecured. Karen Curtis tells us, while elite Marines protect the U.S. Embassy from sadistic gangs in Haiti, Florida is deploying its own forces to protect the state from the same gangs.
You have these very violent thugs that are doing very sadistic things.
That's State Representative Bernard Jacques, who is a Haitian native, talking about the violent gangs who have taken over the island nation. Jacques applauds Governor DeSantis for deploying more than 250 FDLE, FHP, and National Guard forces to protect South Florida's shores from mass migration.
You have law-abiding people who are suffering, who have a reason to leave the island. But some of these gang members have even more reason to take a boat and end up here in Florida.
Jacques admits that immigration is the federal government's responsibility, but says the state must step in because Washington is failing.
Lucinda Decay tells us more and more people are moving out of California than into that state.
It's no surprise. Economists say you can blame the high cost of living, especially rent. New data is out from the Census Bureau. It shows among the top 10 counties in the U.S. with the highest level of net out migration, four are in California: L.A., Orange, San Diego, and Santa Clara. The San Diego Union-Tribune assessed the graphs. They show nearly 31,000 people left San Diego County in 2023. That's double the number from 2022. In L.A., more than 56,000 people moved out.
Aaron Rial tells us money dysmorphia is a new term used to describe the distorted view of one's own finances. And apparently, 29% of Americans have that issue.
One quarter of consumers feels less satisfied with the amount of money that they have because of social media. According to Credit Karma, money dysmorphia is even more prevalent among younger generations. Roughly 43% of Gen Z and 41% of millennials struggle with comparisons to others and feel behind financially. Experts say you can address it by spending less time on social media and removing any payment details stored online to help create purchase hurdles, which force you to think through buying decisions.
A major auto safety group says most hands-free driving systems are unsafe. This week, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety announcing nearly all driving automation systems receive poor safety ratings. Out of 14 systems tested, 11 of them receiving poor ratings, two were rated marginal, and only one was rated as just acceptable. None received a good or better rating, and the head of the research says most systems don't include adequate measures to prevent misuse and keep drivers from losing focus on what's happening on the road. Rebecca Hughes tells us a Senate committee approved a new bill prohibiting businesses from mandating newly created vaccines in the state of South Carolina.
The proposal bars public and private employers from creating vaccine mandates unless the vaccine has been licensed by the FDA within the past decade. The bill would also relax visitor restrictions for isolated individuals and reduce the penalties for violating any quarantine orders, according to WLTX-TV. The state's health agency and the governor have both expressed concerns about the wording of the legislation. Senator Richard Cash says, quote, "We want the department to be able to have the ability to purchase, distribute, and administer novel vaccines. We just don't want people to be mandated to have to take them, and we don't want people taking them without informed consent." The measure still needs to pass the full Medical Affairs Committee before being voted on by the full Senate.
While St. Pat's Day is now associated with parties, parades, and wearing green, the holiday actually, of course, as we know as Catholics, has deep religious roots. St. Patrick's Day was established back in 1631, a feast day to honor the patron saint of Ireland. St. Patrick became a priest and returned to Ireland, where he had a great deal of success in evangelizing many, especially from the Druid culture, and they became Christian. St. Patrick lived and died around the 5th century. St. Patrick's Day coming up this Sunday. Well, speaking of St. Pat's Day and parades and celebrations, Manhattan, New York City observing the holiday actually today with an annual parade in Manhattan that dates all the way back, as Paul DeCastro tells us, to 1762.
The parade will step off at 11 a.m. on 5th Avenue at 44th Street and will end on 5th Avenue at 79th Street. There will be more than 100,000 participants in the parade, including dancers, bands, floats, and more. More than 1 million spectators will be lining New York City streets to see the parade in person. The Grand Marshal of this year's parade is President and CEO of Heineken USA, Maggie Timoney.
It's a Friday morning, 15 minutes past the hour. Hope your day is going well on this Friday, March 15th, 2 days before St. Patrick's Day. Coming up, of course, being that it's a Friday, we will be joined by Doug Keck, our President and Chief Operating Officer, letting us know about great programming coming up this weekend and beyond. So you can, of course, make a note of it. But if you don't have a pen and you're in the car, don't worry. Keep your hands and arms inside the vehicle at all times. And just go to, when you get home, EWTN.com. It'll all be there. And then we're going to be talking in Fact Check Friday about how, you know what, never let the facts get in the way of a good story or a good agenda-driven piece. And that's what we're looking at with the media and this whole transgender dysphoria issue. We'll explain with some pretty big news, as you heard in the newscast earlier, about England banning puberty blockers. But the media, especially here, aren't very happy about that, and we'll explain. And then wrapping up with producer Leo Severino, we'll catch up and see how Cabrini's doing and also his involvement in that film. It is a Friday morning. You are listening to the one, the only EWTN, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is Conversations with Consequences, where we delve deeper into issues affecting our church, our country, and our core, the family.
As Catholics, we need to be informed, aware, and able to talk through some of the tough topics that we're facing in our culture and in our world. Conversations with Consequences gives us the tools to do so.
It's not enough to pray. We have to be a light for the world.
Conversations with Consequences, tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Always great to catch up with our President and Chief Operating Officer of EWTN, Doug Keck. And I could only imagine that there must be some great St. Pat's Day programming coming up. Am I correct?
Absolutely. How did you decide that? You have prophetic knowledge. You really have prophetic knowledge.
I'm just thinking.
Absolutely. Discovering Patrick tomorrow afternoon, Saint of Ireland, with Father Nathan Cromley. It was produced in Ireland. Check that out, Discovering Patrick. And then we've also got St. Patrick's Day Mass from Knock. We're always excited about having added that recently. We do a lot of events now from Knock, and obviously that apparition site, and hopefully have raised awareness of that. We had a wonderful docudrama that we did, that Campbell Miller, who's producing right now, just starting to work on a program called St. Patrick, The Hidden Years, which will have to do with his early life. And that's something that's just in the early stages right now. It's probably a couple of years away from actually showing up on the screen, but we can look forward to that, obviously, as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day this weekend. Also on Sunday, we've got the Mysteries of the Rosary, the Sorrowful Mysteries. Obviously, it's Lent. We got a Holy Week coming up, and this was filmed throughout the Holy Land, so it's quite visually a wonderful experience as well, and that's going to air all next week, basically at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, as we get to rolling up on, you know, Palm Sunday and then right into Holy Week. And then, of course, we change course a little bit, and we move right on to St. Joseph, because, of course, March 19th, We've got St. Joseph coming up. Meditations on St. Joseph with a classic talk by Father Benedict Groeschel. That'll be on the 19th. Of course, that's on Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We've got a live Mass from Nazareth coming up with the Custis from the Holy Land on the Solemnity of St. Joseph. And that'll be at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday as well. We also have a program on the apparition of St. Joseph in France as a role model for all parents at 11:30 p.m. on the 19th.
Wow.
And then
that
a program.
That's interesting. I had not
right,
heard about that.
Right, exactly. And at Home with Jim and Joy, have a Father Daniel Brandenburg, who's going to be talking about the example of St. Joseph, about living a full and faithful life, one of fortitude, next week. You can check that out. And, of course, as you indicated, you can go to EW10.com, go to our Podcast Central site, go to EW10 On Demand, our YouTube channel, to catch so many of these programs anytime you want them, 24/7.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the – I had not heard about that apparition of St. Joseph.
Right, exactly. I remember we did this show several years ago, and it really focuses on his divine guidance for families, and it was a little-known apparition, but we produced it with a couple of other small productions that we did having to do with little-known things that happened in France. So you can look forward to that.
Wow. That's really cool. I mean, there's so many great things that you do at EW10, and we don't necessarily hear about them, not only in the secular media, but also in the Catholic world sometimes.
Oh, please. Yeah, absolutely. As you indicated, so many positive, any of the positive stuff nobody hears about, and the wonderful things. And that's the great thing. Your show, EWTN Radio, you know, EWTN itself, and the news to bring some clarity to things. But certainly EWTN, which is an oasis of Catholic faith, it's a place for you to be reconciled to the truth, for you to be able to refresh yourself and realize there's, you know, we're not dealing with any new heresies. They're all the same ones over again. We did a whole series of heresy shows to show that these heresies never die, and the church has an answer for them. And no matter how bad it got when Napoleon, you know, got the crown and crowned himself, or when we had some, you know, Borgia popes who weren't the best, the church goes on. The faithful go on. And we always have to remind ourselves that all the great heresies were started by priests, religious, and bishops. It's always been the faithful, the people in the pew, who have carried the faith forward, because the church is a church of the people. It's the people of God and the mystical body of Christ.
Right. Well, what I think, too, is really important, especially about St. Patrick's Day, is unfortunately a lot of Catholics, and maybe by no fault of their own, and people that maybe don't practice their faith regularly, don't know a lot about him, because it's mostly built right on parades and parties and whatnot, as opposed to the faith.
Well, when you have the Grand Master is the person in charge of Heineken, you can get the connection there. It's pretty obvious, you know, in New York City. They're not exactly hiding it here, you know, exactly what people are doing. I only had the pleasure once of actually going to St. Patrick's Day when I was in high school. So that was to see the actual parade, etc., which was fun at the certainly at the time, and enjoyable. But yeah, obviously, everything is taken and cartoonized, basically, as we know. And that's why we've tried to have these programs that look deeper into, you know, his life, his saint, what he, you know, he didn't bring beer to Ireland. You know what I mean? He didn't invent the idea of a green mashed potato. He brought the faith. The snakes he drove out of Ireland were basically the pagans. And you were mentioning the Druids and those there,
right,
who were bedeviling the people. And that's what we hope Ireland can hold on. At least there was a little bit of a light. They turned down that amendment that would have dropped the mention of women being important as homemakers in the Irish Constitution. So there's been a lot of backsliding, unfortunately, in Ireland. But, you know, like we're seeing with wokeism and other things, I think things are starting to turn a little. People are starting to realize that they've gone down a path, a dark path, that doesn't really lead anywhere.
No, that's very true, and it's very helpful to make sure that we have EW10 there, because not only the documentaries and movies, but, of course, extremely important, the news outlets, The Register and
Absolutely.
Raymond's program and EW10 News In-Depth and EW10 News Nightly, which are so helpful. Doug, have a great weekend. Wishing you a beautiful St. Pat's, and thanks for all the great programming on St. Patrick. And again, everything that Doug said can be found at, and you can even listen to the archive if you want to go back and just check out all the shows that are coming up. Go to EWTN.com and also to our archive section at AveMariaRadio.net. You just need to click on Catholic Connection, and Andrew usually has those posted by usually about midday or so, so you don't have to miss a thing if you didn't hear the entire interview or just want to share it with someone. That's a great resource to share one of our segments from the program, especially a segment of our program about EWTN programming, which is always a good thing. We'll come back and we'll have our Fact Check Friday, and you concur. I agree. There you go. Doug Keck, our president and chief operating officer. We will be back to talk about Fact Check Friday and how the media are covering this big story about, and there is a light, as Doug said, in Ireland, this one coming actually from England, regarding puberty blockers. Those so-called experts are saying, hey, maybe we're not all that expertise, don't have all that expertise as we thought, and they're changing their minds on some things. And we'll explain how the media are not. Stay tuned.
What three virtues are embodied in the first commandment? The Catholic Catechism, paragraphs 2084 through 2086, tell us that the first commandment encompasses the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. In this commandment, God calls us to worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. When we say God, we confess our belief in a constant, unchangeable being, always faithful and just, without evil. It naturally follows that we accept his words and thus have complete faith in him. Since he is almighty, merciful, and beneficent, how could we not place our hope in him? Finally, who could not love a creator who has poured out his love, his goodness, and his gifts on us? This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master. And the Master is Jesus.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
I tell oftentimes an experience that I had at Divine Child when I was a young priest, 1 year ordained. First time I ever really saw the power of the Blessed Sacrament. And we simply exposed the Blessed Sacrament at the end of Mass one night. I encouraged people. I said, you know what? We've been in the habit of praying over people after Mass. I said, we're not going to do that this week. I'm just going to invite people to come on up and pray if they want to pray. And I put the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. I kneeled down. As I kneeled down, the church is in the sanctuary. The whole church. And as I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the people there, and I'm looking at Jesus under the appearance of bread there, I saw the Lord standing on the altar, and he's just standing there looking out at all the people. And then at a certain point, he turned towards me, and he just bowed, and he says, don't you see how easy this is? You don't have to do anything. You just have to put me out. You put me out, and I will work.
That was the amazing Father John Ricardo. I'm sure you recognize that voice, and he is with us at these networks, and also he's going to be with us in July, good Lord willing, for a beautiful event. If you've never been to the stunningly gorgeous Mackinac Island, which is in the northern part of the state, actually right in the middle of the Straits of Mackinac, And the Straits of Mackinac bring together Lake Huron and Lake Michigan, and it's just such a pretty area, especially in the summertime when the weather is warm, but there's a cool water, you know, breeze coming off of the straits and the lakes. And we are going to be having another grand getaway, we call it, and it's going to be led by Father John Ricardo, but Father Josh Johnson will also be there, along with Kimberly and Scott Hahn. Now I ask you, all these great people together on an island, what a great event, right? And we'll be doing Catholic Connection, as we have for the last few years, live from there. So if you'd like to check it out, all the information is at the Ave Maria Radio travel page. You just go to avemariaradio.net/travel. And, or actually, it's, I think it's in the top banner at the top of the page. When you click on it, you'll see several different shows, our radio programs, and because the different hosts are involved in different events coming up. And if you click on Catholic Connection, you will see the Grand Hotel Getaway coming up right after the Eucharistic Congress. So if you are going to the Congress, but still just maybe want to contemplate and, you know, learn more or just concentrate more on what you learned at the Congress, this would be a great thing to do. Maybe give yourself a few days in northern Lower Michigan because it's absolutely beautiful. Several of the people coming from out of state actually do that, and they were delighted to see just how pretty Michigan is, especially in the summertime. All righty then, 30 minutes past the hour. After this segment, we are going to be chatting with producer Leo Severino all about the movie Cabrini, the latest numbers, how it's doing, his involvement, his response to what he's seen out there so far. It'll be a good segment, really looking forward to it. Right now, though, I want to talk about a story that we had in the news. And Andrew has those two clips from someone in who is really trying to speak out against the whole transgender gender ideology, which is really causing so much damage. It's a story that we ran at the top of the news, and it was based on Andrew Brown with the Texas Public Policy Foundation reacting to the news that in England they're banning puberty blockers, saying that they are neither safe nor effective for children. So here's what Andrew Brown had to say with the Texas Public Policy Foundation.
What the United Kingdom has concluded is there is no science to support these interventions for children. If you're hiking down a path through the woods and you see a bunch of people running in the opposite direction, if you keep going down that path, you're an idiot.
Well, you know, what he's saying really is so true in the sense that the evidence is not there that this, the very dangerous puberty blockers, not to mention the disfiguring and life-altering surgeries that they do on these young people whose bodies are completely healthy, that they're doing any good. As a matter of fact, you may have heard a couple of weeks ago, we interviewed attorney and speaker and Catholic author with the ADL, right? Say that this is not a good thing. He has a whole book on it. He actually spoke at a forum that we had at Ave Maria Radio at Gabriel Richard High School in Ann Arbor a few weekends ago. And what's happening is that more and more research is coming out backing up what the church teaches. And Pope Francis even talked about gender ideology. And he mentioned this in conjunction with the International Women's Day, saying that when we think that we have to alter our bodies to suit some idea we have in our head, that only not only attacks who we are, made in God's image and likeness, male and female, but it also impacts our vocations. Because a vocation that God has assigned to us is very specifically connected to who he made and how he made us. And so there's a real big agenda spiritually here, but again, the evidence, more and more people who are very, very involved in doing these types of surgery and these types of, you know, prescriptions for young people are finding, oh, well, you know what? It's not working and we need to put a kibosh on it, at least for now. And yet in many circles, the media are saying, oh, no, no, that's not true. We have our own experts. ABC News did this and basically bring out the usual suspects. They're people that are pushing forward their agenda. And it reminds me so much, if you go back to the beginning, for many years, remember we had Roe v. Wade in 1973, which legalized abortion through 9 months of pregnancy. Thanks be to God, it was overturned in 2022 with the Dobbs decision. But yet for years, and we're still hearing the same stories. Information was suppressed. Experiences were suppressed and still are. Women who want to share their stories and more men coming forward now as well have been ignored, have been canceled. And if you cover the March for Life, as I have been doing for the last many, many years for EWTN, if you go to the Supreme Court, you see how it's only the conservative and the Catholic media covering these events at the Supreme Court with the women and men sharing their abortion stories through the wonderful group Silent No More. Why is that? Well, because when you buy into an agenda, no matter what the truth says, no matter what the real evidence says, you don't want to give in to that agenda. Even the story, and we did a whole, I mean, we did, I think, more than three interviews on this. Do you remember the survey that came out, supposed report that came out a few weeks ago? Actually, no, it was right after Roe v. Wade. It was longer than I'm losing track of time. It's already the middle of March. But shortly after the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, January 22nd, that week, a so-called survey came out, or a report, or however you want to call it, showing that the Nut Survey, it was actually a report, they said, on how many women became pregnant through sexual assault, and that there was this huge increase in pregnancies through sexual assault after the Dobbs decision in states that had banned abortion. And yet, if you look at who authored the study, every single person involved in that study was connected to the abortion industry, including the lead author, who was a doctor at a Planned Parenthood facility, I believe, in Montana. And then when you have the media rejecting this story from the NHS in England, which, by the way, was leading the way along with other countries such as Norway and Finland, and putting stories out there about how much progress they've been having and, you know, counseling students who have gender dysphoria and believe they're a girl, they want to be a boy. There were whistleblowers inside those places saying, whoa, wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to be counseling these students and sitting down and finding out really what is going on. Is this the issue? Or is it something else? Is there a childhood trauma? Is there another condition? And now we even have more stories and more reports coming out that many of these children are struggling with other issues, but think that maybe if I do this and try to change my sex, then all of my problems will be solved. I really want to recommend a book, and we only did one interview on this, and I want to have her back on, especially with this latest report. And we're also working on getting Dr. Meg Meeker on as well. Lost in Transnation, A Child Psychiatrist's Guide Out of the Madness, from Miriam Grossman, MD. She talks a lot about the agenda and the refusal by many in the public, including the media, to speak the truth. The book was published, obviously, before this report came out. That's worth your while. Lost in Transnation. We'll be right back. Leo Severino up next.
And now, the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me, our EWTN Family Prayer. Today we pray for those who have diabetes. Almighty God, we worship you, our Father, and we pray this day for those who suffer with diabetes. Look upon your children with this illness and grant them relief. Give them patience and the grace of perseverance in taking care of their health. Show them the way to physical and spiritual well-being. Let their cry come to your ears and bring them healing in mind and body and soul. We ask this in the holy name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
When I've had enough. I ask parents, when do you decide to discipline? One of the most common answers is, when I've had enough. If discipline is designed to teach, then we need to discipline before we've had enough. We need to discipline because the behavior's wrong, not because emotionally it's pushed us to our edge. Besides, when you get to when you've had enough, you're much more likely to yell and scream and say things that you have to go to confession for. So, the suggestion is, discipline out of principle, not emotion. Principle means because it needs discipline, and I'm going to do it when I'm calm. Emotion means I'm going to be moved to do it just because I'm mad.
From the archives, this is the wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Do you know yourself? Nobody knows themselves. That's why if somebody says, why are you so impatient? You say, I'm not impatient. Or, why are you so angry all the time? Who's angry? I'm never angry. We don't know ourselves. You know, I've told you that there's so many of these mystics have said that the Lord would come one day and give us a warning, that we would see ourselves as he sees us. Oh, that would be a shock, huh? Somebody sent me a videotape. We watched it the other night. These people who had death experiences, they all saw this light. But what they all saw was themselves. And they were surprised. Well, if you know yourself, you wouldn't be surprised, would you?
For more about Mother Angelica, visit EWTNRC.com.
Minutes past the hour. Welcome back, Catholic Connection, on a Friday morning. You are listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be with you. And we're working on getting our next guest, Leo Severino, on with us. But hey, it's live radio. Things happen. Apparently, he is not picking up the phone. So we'll keep trying. In the meantime, oh, we got him. Yay. Oh, good. I'm so excited because I finally had the opportunity to meet Leo in person after doing many interviews with him over the wonderful films he's been involved in before Cabrini. And then, Leo, if you remember, we met in Philadelphia at the premiere there. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Therese. Thank you for having me. Thank you for all your good work.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Thanks be to God. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, okay. So we want the scoop. We want the exclusive here at Catholic Connection on how Cabrini is doing. I know it did well right out of the gate last weekend, correct?
Yes. Thanks be to God. So, I mean, this is a film that we never, in our wildest dreams, when Eustace Wolfenstein first came up to me, I thought, boy, this is going to be a tough sell, right? It's a film about a 19th century nun that no one knows. It's a period mm-hmm. piece. This is complicated. And thanks be to God, we have Angel Studios behind us who supported us for Sound of Freedom. And so it went wide, and it did really well the first weekend, and we're hoping this next weekend it could even do better. And what's been most surprising has been the critical acclaim. Normally, you know, the audience responds differently than the critics. And in this case, both are very high marks. So we're really pleased with the results so far. Thanks be to God.
So how did you tell our listeners how you became connected and were able to produce this movie?
Well, it started back when Alejandro Monteverde, our director, and Eduardo Velasquez and myself started a film company. I left 20th Century Fox to try to do films that were more in line with the faith that I was trying to practice. Mm-hmm. And the fellows had a similar mission. And this gentleman, Eustace Wolfenden, executive producer, funded our first film, Bella. And we went on to do other films, A Little Boy, Sound of Freedom. And then Eustace calls us years later and he says, I have this film I wanted to make about Mother Cabrini. And I said, Mother who? He said, Mother Cabrini. She's the first American saint. And I said, oh, I thought the first saint was Elizabeth Ann Seton. He said, no, that's the first naturally born saint, but the first American who was canonized as Mother Cabrini. She became a citizen turn of the century. And so that piqued my interest because I didn't know anything about her. And, you know, trying to be a devout Catholic and not knowing who the first American saint was kind of an interesting turn for me. And then when I heard her story and I heard her incredible faith and determination, the obstacles she overcame and all she did and the thousands, if not millions of souls that she touched, I thought this is an incredible story that needs to be told. So I said, let's do it.
Yeah, it was an incredible story. And I thought it was incredibly well told. We're speaking with Leo Severino, producer of Cabrini. Leo, of course, as you may know already, is a 20-year Hollywood veteran and a founding partner of Metanoia Films. There was a beautiful interview. We did have Eustace on this program, Catholic Connection, but I also really enjoyed, I don't know if you saw it, but Raymond Arroyo last week did a fantastic job of interviewing Eustace. And it was such a moving interview because at several points, as he did on this show, he became extremely emotional. He didn't want to do another movie. He was really not, but it was like Cabrini kept coming up and up and up. And he has had a devotion to her since he was a teenager. So the story, it's very personal for him as well.
That's right, yeah. Well, first, Raymond has been just wonderful. He's such an incredible support, and we just love him. And he really got what we were trying to do here with this film. And you're right, Eustace, Cabrini has been, he's been walking with her basically his entire life. You know, his devotion to her, he says she's primarily responsible for all his business success. And this is the man who revolutionized the motor industry by,
right,
the automotive industry by inventing the concept of car leasing, right? So he kind of took up his mantle of having, if it's what Cabrini says in the film, and it was a motto that she lived her life by. You can either serve your weakness or you can serve your purpose, not both. And that sort of determination, when God puts something in your heart and you know that it's good and right to just go after it, is the way that Eustace has lived his life, even with this film and the funding of this film. And it was a big venture. We shot during COVID. I mean, it was just thing after thing that were obstacles, and he didn't let any of it stop him. And that's in part due to his devotion to Cabrini, in large part.
So what are you hearing from the audiences around the country since the movie opened? Because I know the reaction in Philadelphia was, and obviously you were there and you heard the response, and people were generally inspired to go out there and make a difference. And even David Morris at that event that you and I were at in Philadelphia a couple of weeks ago, he was very choked up because he said that he's been in the industry a long time, but this is the only film where when people see it, because you've been debuting in different areas, premiering it in different areas, that they just want to get involved. That one woman said, okay, where do I sign up? How do I become, you know, a supporter of Cabrini and what she's done, you know, around the world? Yeah. What are you hearing now that it's in theaters across the country, Leo?
Well, similar stories. It's been wonderful. The reaction's been wonderful. Yeah, and you referenced there David Morris, the great actor. I mean, we're talking about some incredible films he's been in, like The Green Mile. And to say what he says, to give such high praise to this film is just beyond what we could have expected. We're finding similar reactions. Right now on Rotten Tomatoes, it's at 98% audience score, which is just awesome for a film about somebody a woman that people didn't know, a saint that no one knew about. And, we find story after story, there's been gals who have been confirmed in their decision to a vocation to enter the convent because of this film, which is what we really were hoping for, that this would really shed nuns in a bit of a different light other than the stereotype of like the terse nun with the ruler, you know, coming after the kids in the school sort of thing. Right. That's been the hope has been to inspire hope. We thought if we could shine a light on this saint's life, then that would shine, her light would shine into people's lives. And the film really starts where it ends, right? The idea is, this is an introduction to her. This was her beachhead. This was her Normandy, her D-Day when she arrived in New York. That's what the film was about. And then the hope is that people then find out about her more after the film and grow in a devotion to her. That's the idea.
46 minutes past the hour, talking with Leo Severino, the producer of Cabrini, CabriniFilm.com. You know what I thought was so interesting? I endorsed the book, Too Small a World, that Ignatius Press and Sophia are reintroducing to readers out there, written by Theodore Maynard, and we're going to be having Father Fessio on from Ignatius to talk about this. But if you read that book and you watch the film, it doesn't really matter what order you do it, you see the similarities. And I thought that you did a very good job in the movie to really show who she was, where she started. In Italy, the scenery and the cinematography was incredible in your film. But it really was, I think, a very good snapshot of the interesting things that the writer made, that Maynard made about her life, that her interior life, her own personal prayer life was very much a mystery in terms of she didn't tell a lot of people about it, but she was very open about, obviously, her dedication to the Sacred Heart and that everything was for Jesus, as we saw in the film where she kept quoting Philippians, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But you've heard the critics and some people saying it's too general, it's too secular. But when I read the book, and I know that Eustace read that book as well, it's very much in line with what this writer had access to all kinds of documents, what he portrayed in her life story.
Yes, and we try to be absolutely accurate. And listen, you're right, there's been some critics, especially on kind of the vocal, very small minority of Catholics, are like, she's not praying enough in this film, you're not showing enough of her prayer life and her Catholicism. To those people, I would beg them to see the film again. I mean, there's three different moments of intense prayer in the film. There's the prayer in Latin, giving thanksgiving to God. And one criticism there was, that's only half the prayer. Like, yes, because we filmed both half and the entire prayer, and the entire prayer was inappropriate at that moment because of the pacing of the film. There's other considerations. So let's be grateful we can even get half of a prayer to God in the film. You know, we have her quoting Philippians. She mentions God throughout. In the climax of the film, she's in front of the tabernacle all night, and you notice the little candles lit because our Lord is there present. But, you know, these criticisms to me sound a lot like the devil's advocate of her canonization trials. She was accused of the very thing, that she wasn't more public about her prayer life, that she spent too much time helping the poor and helping the sick and that sort of thing. And it's like, listen, we're trying to make a film that's accurate to the saint. We're also trying to make a film that is an entertaining film. And there's probably no such thing as a perfect film. Maybe the perfect film is showing our Lord in the monstrance of you know, adoration for 2 hours. But of course, someone's going to complain about the lighting or the monstrance or the music, right? We're trying our best, and our hope is to strike that balance between entertainment and plot and story and drive and character, and at the same time, not shying from her faith, and the exact opposite, highlighting her faith. I don't know anybody that with goodwill that walks into those films doesn't walk away knowing to what she literally says in the film, that we can do all things in He who strengthens us. She quotes the scriptures about where she gets her drive and her determination. So it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that, you know, we face this with all of our films, with Bella.
Sure. Well,
you know, it's not
always. There's
not
always going to be critics. That's the business. Right. Yeah. But unfortunately, I think too many people focus on what they see are the issues, as opposed to, can we look at the big picture? Can we look at the impact that this woman had? Can we look at the fact that she was the one? And I knew of Cabrini, but I didn't know that much about her. I certainly didn't know until Eustace and the team, they sent me there, and the Carmel sent me the screening, and I watched it, and then I spent some time with Eustace and his sister and their team talking about some of the background how before I did the first interview with him. But I didn't know, Leo, that she was the one who influenced Mother Teresa, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta.
That's right. At her canonization, young Mother Teresa was there. She was part of the teaching order of Loreto nuns and kind of had this hidden life, and decided to become a missionary to start her own order in the mold of Mother Cabrini, who was the first woman, who was the founder of a missionary order of nuns that wasn't under the auspices and authority of an order of priests. And, you know, that was Pope Leo XIII. No modernist that one. And he said, no, this is what I need you to do. And mm-hmm. and that was the focus. And that inspired Mother Teresa to then go out and do what she did. So, you know, it's arguably... if there's no Mother Cabrini, there might not have been a Mother Teresa in the same
exactly.
way that we know her.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's just wonderful. And that those are the sorts of things we're trying to bring to the forefront.
And just being there and listening to the response of the people. I mean, we had question and answer at the premiere in Philadelphia a few weeks ago, and most of the people didn't really have any questions. They just wanted to thank you guys for the film and for the work you put into it. And they, again, so many people were like, they were speechless. How do we get involved? What do we do? And they were learning a lot about this amazing woman, I think right there, as a lot of us were. And I love the way you end the film, where you give details about what she was able to accomplish, looking at how much she accomplished. And if you were just looking at it from, let's say, a monetary standpoint, it would be like the Rockefellers, you know, or the Vanderbilts or something along those lines. But the other thing, too, is that we have to remember, and some men are saying, oh, well, it makes men look bad. I'm like, well, sorry, guys, you know, you were really sexist back then, and it wasn't too much. It wasn't a pretty picture. This was reality. It's like, come on. And the discrimination against Italians in particular, which Maynard really points out in the book, because the Irish had kind of come of age at that point. They were moving up and were kind of, you know, involved in a lot of different things at that point in terms of management and building and whatnot. They had arrived earlier before the Italians, but the discrimination in that time was extremely, extremely bad against Italians. I remember my grandparents and my parents talking about it. I'm 100% Italian. But I thought it was very realistic. I thought it was a real slice of her life.
Yes, that's the hope. I mean, we really took straight from her writings, from the writings of the people around her, from her biographies, and said, you know, what would this look like if we were authentic to what it appears to be from all the writings and from her canonization trial and et cetera. And you're right. She faced anti-Catholic, anti-woman, anti-nun, anti-immigrant, anti-Italian sentiments. And she didn't let that stop her. It actually motivated her to push even further. And when it comes to people saying, you're making men look bad, yes, those are the antagonists in the film. They happen to be men. But right. there's also protagonists. Pope Leo XIII was an incredible
right. supporter. And the doctor that the helped her. And the beautiful...
Yeah. Dr. Mm-hmm. Murphy, the mm-hmm. reporter. There's so many people. It's an odd thing, but, you know, we're used to this, sadly, after making films for as long as we've been making them, you know?
Well, you can't please everybody, but I'll tell you what, I thought it was excellent, and I talked to you about it when I saw it on the big screen. I had seen it twice. I encourage people, I want to go see it again on the big screen. Job well done. And I'm sure Mother Cabrini is smiling down at you. Thank you for bringing this film to the screen. Leo Severino, producer of Cabrini, CabriniFilm.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mike Aquilina with a few words about St. Cyril. St. Cyril of Alexandria was the great defender of Marian devotion. At the Council of Ephesus in 431, he opposed the heretical Bishop Nestorius, who had ordered his people not to address Mary as Mother of God. Cyril proved that this traditional language was a safeguard of the gospel doctrine about Jesus, who is true God and true man.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Ave Maria Radio invites you to feast on the joy of fasting this Lenten season and all year long. Fast from idle gossip. Feast on purposeful silence. Fast from words that pollute. Feast on words that purify. Fast from discontent. Feast on gratitude. Fasting is a part of true Christian life. It liberates us from this world as we grow closer to Christ.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Wishing you a beautiful weekend and a happy St. Patrick's Day. But remember who St. Patrick was. And also next weekend we have St. Joseph's Day coming up too on March 19th. And it actually is the anniversary of Rosie's passing. 4 years already. We'll talk about that. I'll share some thoughts next week. Have a great weekend. God bless. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.